Amen. Are we good? Alrighty. Stop it. Today is February 27, 2013. And if you can't tell by the opening song and the song we just sang, the message tonight is on joy. That's the message for tonight. Thank you. Have a blessed night. Alrighty. For those that you are not sure, joy is defined as the emotion of great delight or happiness caused by something exceptionally good or satisfying. Elation and the expression or display of glad feelings. That's what joy is defined as. Joy is mentioned quite a bit in Scripture. And it varies different in different ways, shapes, and form between, you know, just bodily joy, spiritual joy, all those types of things that go along with it. There's an old Swedish motto that hangs in many kitchens that reads, shared joy is a double joy. Shared sorrow is half a sorrow. And I've heard it said many times that a problem shared is cut in half. So that would be your shared sorrow is half a sorrow. But I've never heard the part about joy. Shared joy is a double joy. And it's true. When you share joy, usually everybody else gets happy for you unless they're envious of you. But most of the time, people share in your joy. True joy, however, is attained through the fruit of the Spirit. That's where we receive true godlike joy, spiritual joy. The word tells us in Galatians 5:22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. This type of joy that we have or that we can obtain or that we may walk in is an overwhelming sense of comfort and contentment. You have all those things that go along with being happy, joyous, and free, right? You have love and you have peace and you have gentleness and you have goodness and you have faith. Long-suffering is patience. And that also comes. Because as many of us know, our biggest goal in our life is to have God's will be done. And to be able to wait and allow God's will to be done in our life is often very difficult. God's timing is not our timing. He has his own timing in mind. And that requires patience on our part. And a lot of people struggle with that. They pray for God's will. They pray for God to help them and solve problems and give them that guidance and direction. But they're not always willing to wait for it. They want their cake and eat it too. I want what I want and I want it now. And that's not the way God works. God likes to see our commitment. He likes to see our perseverance. That's when he rewards us. So with the joy, with joy, with peace, with gentleness and goodness and faith also comes patience. And with all of those things being the fruit of the Spirit that are a blessing given to us as a gift of the Spirit, comes with that a source of or a feeling of contentment and comfort. When God's taking care of everything, have you ever noticed there's there's a different type of peace in your life? When you know that God is at work and God is doing things and you don't have to worry about anything. You know, the Lord is blessed and I'm okay where I'm at. There's nothing that I need. All that I need right now. I have as much love and affection as I can handle from my husband, my daughter, my sisters, my grandkids. my God. He pours it out abundantly. And how often do we stop and think, this is so much more than I ever expected? Through that perseverance, through that having that patience, being long-suffering, trusting in God and knowing that he's taking care of all these things. And then when you finally reach a point, I know I did in my life, and when I was writing the message last night, it brought back these words. I was reminded of the words spoken by Paul in 1 Corinthians 12:9, where he said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I would rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me." God's grace is sufficient for me. It takes a lot of time. It takes a lot of loss, of material loss, of worldly loss, for us to reach a point in our lives where we can say, "Lord, your grace is sufficient for me. I have right now at this moment all that I could ever need. I have a roof over my head. I have clothes on my back. I have a little bit of money in my bank account. I have transportation to get me to and from. My camel hasn't died. I have everything that I need right now. If my life stayed the way it is, I could be content with that, because God's grace is sufficient for me, and that's what I need most." It takes a long time for many of us in our lives to reach that point, to where we can actually feel they're not just words that we say, but to actually feel them with conviction in our heart. And to say, you know, "Lord, you've led me through a lot. And I've had wants and I've had needs, and you've supplied them all. Any further want that I may have has to be in your will for me to receive it, because with what I have right now, I'm fine. I need no more." And it takes us... It took me a long time. I'm 47, and I could only say that 2 years ago, that I had reached a point in my life and told God, you know, "If I'm destined to be single to serve you the rest of my life, I accept that, because your grace is sufficient." It's not an easy realization, but when you understand what it truly means, and when you are at a point in your life where you can say that honestly and truly believe it with all of your body, heart, and mind, truly mean it, you get that overwhelming sense of peace. You get the joy that comes from that, from being content, from being comforted. It's indescribable. And it's not an easy thing to do. It involves casting a lot of your own will aside. But the benefits are far greater. You know, when I look back at my life and everything I've been through, God was always there. Many people don't see that. They don't even have the grace to see that. Many people that I run into on a daily basis, almost, I know my husband does, more than I, feel that God has betrayed them, that God has left them. And I feel for those people. I always want to pull them aside and say, "God's right there. He's right there." It's important to remember that we go through all the things that we go through is for a reason. And most of the time, it's designed to draw us closer to God. Because if it's a tragedy... you're going to hit your knees and pray. That draws you closer to God. And if it's a triumph, you're going to sing God's praises. And that's going to draw you closer to God. Now, there are those that would take either one, tragedies or triumphs, into their own will and blame it on themselves. And for those types of people, we have to gently lead and guide them and have them... bring them to the understanding and the realization that God truly is in charge of everything. A lot of times people have a hard time believing that the Lord would allow catastrophe and tragedy to come into somebody's life. You know, our God is a loving God. These things aren't necessarily done by, they're not done by his hands. They're done by the devil, but God allows them. And why does he allow them? Well, you have to look at your life, and you have to look, you know, our God is a jealous God. What's the first commandment? Is to have no other gods before him. And if you've done that one, broke that very first commandment in your life, God's going to allow some tragedy. He's going to allow some things to come into your life, to move in your life, to get your attention. If other things in your life have become your God and in taken his place, his rightful place, yeah, he's going to allow some things to come your way. But a lot of times we take on these things by our own hands because of our own will. We're human. But God does bring that deliverance, and all we have to do is trust him. He brings that comfort and that peace and knowing that he's taking care of us. That overabounding joy that comes when we're focusing and walking with the Lord on a daily basis. You know, there are days that it's difficult. You know, we get stuck in our worldly ways. Not necessarily doing those things that the Lord would have us to do, but you know, we are human. We do make mistakes. We still sin. We seek forgiveness for those things. But we all know that God's in control, and that's where our peace comes in. That's where our focus comes. It's very easy to feel beat down by this world. Bless you. And for many of us, we reach a point in our lives where we turn everything over and we know that he's going to provide our every need. It's not always easy to do these things, to turn it all over and to trust in him. Uncertainty leads to fear. The unknown leads to fear. People fear the unknown. If you ask someone if they're afraid of dying and they say yes, and your next question is, why are you afraid? Eight or nine times out of ten, people are going to say, because I don't know how it's going to happen or when it'll happen. The fear of the unknown. But if you know the Lord and you walk a close walk with God, you know where you're going. Amen. So you don't have to worry about the how or the when. I know where I'm going. If the Lord destines me to die in a plane crash on a business trip for work, I trust God. I trust the Lord. You know, all we can do is pray for these things, ask God to give us the strength to accept. You know, the other night my husband was having a very bad pain in his head, which he's been having. And what is always my prayer, Lord, see to his health. Heal him of his pain, and please don't take him from me yet. That's where my selfishness would come in. But I still trust God because I know where he's going to go, right? Not ready for him to get there yet, and that's okay. We have to reach that point in our lives where we can say that God's grace is sufficient for us. We have to get to that point in our lives where we realize that God's in control of everything. And we have to admit to the Lord that we are happy with our lives, with the things that he's blessed us with the way things are. Okay, I may seek a newer home. If it's God's will, I'll receive it. But if I don't receive it, am I any worse off than I am now? No. I know in my heart, beyond a shadow of a doubt, God gave me the home that I have. It was at the right time. The money was there. The The price was right. Everything fell into place. It was God's will. Well, I also want to make sure that I don't hold myself back from any blessings that God has for me to receive. I don't want my fear of disobeying God to lead me to miss a blessing, something that he truly wants to give. So when we reach that point, what we have to do is continue in prayer, continue to take things one step at a time, not getting too far ahead, and allowing God's hand to lead and guide us, to show us the direction that we're supposed to go. That's the way it works. And for all these things, no matter what the outcome is or at every step, you measure it against the word of God, you'll know if it's God's will. Because the Lord doesn't lead us to go against his will or his word. You should be able to compare anything in your life to the word of God or get confirmation through the word in some way, shape, or form. Many times you'll get confirmation just because you're reading the word of God. But that's how we know for certain what God's will is and what God's will isn't. We want to make sure that we're doing what God would have us to do. And just trusting in him, that there's it can return us to that childlike happiness that we had when we were kids, being carefree. Because you know that God's in control of everything, and I don't have to make all the decisions. All I have to do is trust God, and my only decision that I need to make is to trust him and allow his hand to work. And that leads me to peace and comfort and happiness and joy abundantly. Once we just decide and determine to stop striving, to stop going after things within our that are just out of our reach because of our own will, and we allow God, we just stand still and allow God to bring those things to us, he does at the right time. And then we stand with that wow, in that wow moment, in awe of God, of his hand. And that's when we just are elated and we sing his praises. And that's when the overabundant, abounding joy comes in. Because God works in ways that we can't fathom. Joy is able to abound, and it enters in abundantly. The word tells us in Psalms 16, 8 through 11, I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand. I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope, for thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. Trusting in God brings hope and faith and love. It increases our faith, and where faith is their grace is, and they are tied together. And walking in that path, walking with the Lord, brings that presence of fullness of joy. It's a special gift that only a believer can receive, that only a believer has access to. The word tells us in Ephesians 1, 12 through 14, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted. After that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnestness of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. When we are happy, joyous, and free, we do nothing but sing God's praises all day long. Because we have no worries. We have nothing that's holding us down. We're not bound by this world. We're not bound by the restrictions of this world. We look and we think and we focused past all those things because we're focused on God and trying to serve him and walk with him. And it's through that presence of the Lord where we receive the fullness of joy. This type of joy is only received by a Christian. It's only given by the Holy Spirit, and we are the only ones that can have such joy. Other people may have joy in the world. They may be happy, but it's not going to last. The devil cannot bless as the Lord does. His blessings don't last. They fade. They don't last long. To know the To know the unlimited joy, amount of joy that only God can give. To know that there are no limitations on his blessings and his love and his mercy. We set those. When we choose to walk with him and we choose to give him that control in our lives, it's just that peace. I think I love that more than anything. To know that God's protecting me. To feel that security. And you know, just to continue to want to follow his word and do what's right. And put my focus there. Put my focus on my walk with the Lord and know that he'll make all things right if only I surrender unto his will. Right? It's what it's all about. But the joy has certainly poured out into our hearts and lives lately, especially. And the love that only God, the greatest love that we can receive, which is the love of the Lord. And just giving back to him and following his ways. Doing those things that he would have us do. I love the amount of joy that the Lord has placed upon my heart right now. It's awesome. And to see his hand at work in my body, in my heart, in my mind, in my life, it still always humbles me. But there's not many things that can describe it. You know, the Lord has blessed us so much, all of us, and we have all the love that we need. And we have all of our material needs provided. And we have a God that has provided for our eternity. And it's truly amazing, the God we serve. So, let me give you my final scripture for you tonight so that we may close it up. And that would be a closing blessing, is the way this is worded. It comes from Romans 15:13. The word says, "Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost." I hope that everyone is able to receive joy, the kind of joy that I've spoken about tonight, that the Holy Spirit has given us knowledge of. And I hope that everybody can find this joy. And if you're still searching, I encourage you to draw closer to the Lord and allow him to show you the areas of your life where improvement still needs to be made. But that you never give up on the Lord or on yourself, and don't beat yourself up too bad. And just know that he loves you, and that there's always forgiveness at the cross. And all you have to do is trust in Him for all these things. And He'll see to it. And you will have that joy, that happiness, the peace and the love, the gentleness, the goodness, the faith, and the patience that all comes by His mighty hand. Amen. Does anybody have anything to add? If our hearts and minds are clear, then we can stand for dismissal.